Hey, Slingers, welcome back to another week of the Word Slinger podcast. And today we're talking to Michael Evans. You're going to dig this interview. Stick around and we'll get right to it.
It's the Word Slinger podcast, where story matters. Build your brand, write your book, redefine who you are. It's all about the story here. What's yours? Now, here's the guy who invented pants optional, Kevin Tomlinson, the Word Slinger.
Word Slinger.
Well, I am Kevin Tomlinson, the Word Slinger. I'm so happy you're here for another week of the Word Slinger podcast. We're going to switch things up this week. And you may have already noticed, because if things go according to plan, there was already a Word Slinger podcast episode this week, and it didn't have an interview. So that's the plan, at least. So we're going to give this a shot today, and I'll talk about that in a second. But today we're going to talk to Michael Evans, and he is, well, among other things, he's going to make you feel really old. He made me feel really old. He's a young kid who is killing it. He's just crushing it as an indie author, doing some things that I just find remarkable for someone his age. But, you know, in general, if this, no matter what age Michael was, I think he's doing some remarkable work. So I'm excited to get into that interview. And it's a lesson. It's a lesson we can all take with us. It shows us that it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, what race you are, what gender you are, what your sexual preference is, none of that stuff matters. If you want a career as an indie author, you can crush it and make it happen. It's all about deciding and taking action. That's the kind of thing we're going to get into with Michael in this interview. So with that said, before we jump in, I just want to say, I hope you got a chance to my plan, and I'm going to just assume I followed through on this plan, but my plan was to start splitting up the Word Slinger podcast episodes. So if you're listening to this interview and you haven't heard the solo, no interview version from earlier in the week, go back and check that out, because what we've got going on now is I decided, you know, the show was getting to be over an hour long with the interview and with me, gabbing for 30 minutes. And I kind of got a hint from some folks that, you know, there are some folks who like the interview and don't care for the afterword, and some folks who dig the afterword and don't care for the interview. So we're going to split that up for a little bit and see how it works out and try going for two shows a week. Right now, as you are listening and or watching this, I should be in St. Louis at the Cat Writers Convention. Shout out to all my cat writers out there. I'm talking about D2D and talking about other stuff while I'm at that show. It should still be going on when this episode goes live. So if you are in the St. Louis area and you happen to be at the show, stop by, say hi, introduce yourself. I'd love to meet you. And other than that, let's get right into this energetic, high power, high profile interview with my new good friend, Michael Evans. I'll see you on the other side. Hey, everybody. I am very excited about this interview, actually. For one, it was today's guest was recommended to me by Melinda Hammond, who you'll hear on this show eventually, but I've been on her show a few times, writing from the road, I believe, or writing on the road. Riding on the road. So I'm talking to, you heard his voice there on the audio feed, but I'm talking to Michael Evans. And this guy is, he's a young adult post-apocalyptic thriller writer. He's got several books out there that all look intriguing. I haven't had a chance to read them yet. Michael, I'm sorry, I'll get to it. but this all came together very fast. But I'm real happy to have you on the show. Welcome on the Word Slinger podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I've got to say, Michael, first of all, and I said this before the show started, but I really feel like I need to kind of call it out, because you are officially the youngest guest I've ever had on the show. I'll let you reveal what your age is if you feel like it. But you are officially the youngest guest on the show. You're actually still in high school right now?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm a senior in high school. And I'll be taking a gap year next year to focus on writing, which we can get into that. But yeah, that's I'm a senior right now and I am 17 years old, but with me in writing, age is kind of a thing for me that a lot of authors tend to be a little bit older than me, but at the same time, a great story is a great story. And for me, I focus on the storytelling with my books.
That's absolutely right, man. I have to also give you props because you're the first official guest who actually filled out my intake form completely. No one does that. So you even filled in the parts that you didn't have answers for. So that's remarkable. Thank you for that. Well, we're not going to harp on your age at all, really, because I'm really impressed by the fact that you're doing that. At your age, I was writing stories and writing books, but had no real idea how to get published or anything. So it's remarkable that you've done this, but it's also sort of a product for our times, right? You're using the tools that are out there, the same tools I'm using.
Yeah, exactly. It's I guess the great part about the internet is it democratizes all anyone starting any sort of business, not just with writing, but you could sell any product. Like, I mean, there's people drop shipping on eBay making really great profits doing that. But for me, my love is books and writing. And it's always been that. So I guess to learn that I could have my own business online, at least based online, all of us do in-person events too, but, and be able to sell books like that and be able to get my stories out in the world in a way that's relatively easy is awesome. I don't want to like diminish the accomplishment. All of us who've had published books out there, certainly not the easiest thing in the world to do, especially professionally, but the fact that it's possible to do, is awesome. Yeah. I'm forever thankful for being able to use the internet in a positive way like that.
What got you to this? Where'd you, what got you to even start this? What was the first time you considered this?
For me, I had always been writing, just always. And I think it was after I had written two books in the Control Freak series, which was, I'm going to say, it was partway through my freshman year of high school. So like about 2 years ago, I started seriously thinking about looking into getting my books published. I want to get them out in the world. And I mean, when you look up online, the first thing you think of like is like, oh, how do you get your book published? By Random House, or like all the books, you know, that I would think the big five. And I looked it up and I queried like 15 agents and heard back from like two of like a no, and didn't even hear back from the other ones. And at that point, I only did 15, and it was like really put together like quickly. And I thought about it during it, and I'm like, I don't want to do that route at all. It never interested me. And for me, being an author, being a writer is something I've always wanted to be, but being a storyteller for career seems something to me like it wasn't exciting enough in a way. It's hard to get competitive being a storyteller. I'm a competitive person. It's hard to get competitive and really be like, what are my results going to be when you're just writing and putting a book and giving it to someone else to put out there? But for me, being an indie author allowed me to take control and allowed me to have my own product and my own business. So it was something that I naturally chose to do. And I listened to actually self-publishing podcasts. I listened to a Mark Dawson self-publishing formula, and I listened to, I always forget the name of their podcast, Smarter Artists podcast with the three guys, Johnny Truant, David. They're great. They're great. I listened to all of them, and I realized pretty quickly that I was going to have some money to be able to get this started. And I wasn't willing to do it unprofessionally. I knew if I was going to do it, I was going to put my best foot forward, which is how I always try to do with everything in my life. And I was committed to this and still am. And I worked at a resort near my house because I live in Charleston. So I worked there for the summer and saved up pretty much every penny to be able to get the first book out there. And since then, have learned a lot more about getting a product out there professionally, but in a cost efficient way. Decreased my cost by like a third that I did. I spent about like $3,000 to get the first book published, but then I've spent $1,000 for the books after that. So it was really great to learn for me how to like cut costs, but still keep a high quality product out there. And that's how I got it all started. And it was really fun to be able to have it really be something that felt solely my own and something that I'm still growing today, like all of us.
Yeah. So that prompts me to ask, because I know my audience is thinking this, like, are you, genetically altered or something? Are you, do you have like a mutant chromosome or something? Because you are doing stuff that I think most people think they couldn't have even done at 17 years old, man. Thought about half the stuff you just said, honestly. I know full-grown adults who aren't thinking the way you're thinking about this business.
I think actually, and why I hope people come away with this is to start thinking about writing more along those lines and their storytelling, all their passions. Like, I think I have other passions in life besides writing, although writing's the principal one, the one that I love the most. But to pursue your passions that way, because I mean, for me, we're on this planet for a limited period of time, that's for sure. And with my life, I try to live boundlessly in that. I have this whole boundless mindset that I approach to my life and my business. And living boundlessly means trying to have a viewing that the obstacles in front of you, as long as we're together in it, are not there. That the future can be limitless as long as we believe that and work towards it. And my motto that I like to live by is "Together we are boundless." And that's why, like, because a community of indie authors, we can really do anything. And right now, we're upheaving the traditional publishing industry in large ways, which is really cool. But for me, since I've always attacked life with that mindset, it was just natural for me to view my goals and my dreams and really trying to pursue my happiness. And for most people, we all get happiness from making the people around us happy. And for most writers, that's telling stories that make people happy. And for me, this was the way to do it and get it out there. And age has never been a thing for me. Time has never even been a thing for me, because I always know that no matter what's going on in my life, how busy I am with school, sports, extracurricular activities, it's all about if I truly love this, I'm going to make sacrifices in order to be able to pursue this. And I did that. And along with many, many other people. And I'd recommend, if people are struggling to find time to try and scale up their business, write more, market more, to reevaluate their life, as I did about a year and a half ago now. And I really tried to prioritize what was important to me, what made me happy, and what would be best for both my short-term growth as a person and my long-term growth. And for me, that was really making decisions that focused more on writing. And for me, that ultimately led to me taking a couple extra classes in school to be able to graduate a year early to hopefully then take a gap year, which I've done. So next year, I'll be able to have a full year to write full time before I go to college, which is something to me that was really important. And I guess something due to me having an advantage with like age on that regard and having more flexibility was an opportunity I had to take. But I think we all in our own lives have unique things about us and unique things in our circumstances and situation that we can leverage to help us really further our own business and our passion. And I did that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, this boundless concept that you've adopted, what's the origin of that? Did you create this on your own? Because you're going to make me very sad. You have. Of course you have.
Yeah, it's something during my gap year, I'll actually be doing hopefully like a weekly, I'll be doing a weekly YouTube thing and about trying to adopt more of a boundless mindset, more directed toward teens, because I find that in this world, like we're especially, I mean, we both can speak to this in America, we're so divided on where we see our future headed, what we want in this moment. And to me, being boundless encapsulates one, putting both your own personal growth and happiness first, because I see adults and kids can get caught up in, I won't curse in this podcast, BS. Certainly that's the best word I can use for it. Like we're stuck on our phones, looking at social media, but not social media for business purposes. But I'm talking about just scrolling mindlessly through memes and, you know, ads, stupid stuff that doesn't do anything to better ourselves as people for hours a day. We'll be watching TV, but to watch TV is a great, you know, it's a great thing to do for maybe an hour a day, but to binge watch Netflix for a couple hours, like that's a waste. There's so many different things that we do that waste time in a day and that get us caught up in the stuff in life that to me doesn't truly matter. I'm not going to be one to tell anyone what truly matters to them. We all have different passions and different things that matter to us. But a lot of what the world is designed is to make money off of us taking our time away from us. And I think that's also created a huge divide in this country as well. And for me, being boundless is one, recognizing the obstacles that are put in front of us, realizing that you can overcome them, and then realizing that together, all our dreams, all our goals are possible. And if we all, this whole world was working towards the same thing, anything could happen. That's true. And that's why like the whole alien invasion thing, aliens invade, we're going to conquer them. And for me, Together We Are Boundless is just kind of a call out for remembering that at the end of the day, we all have the same goals: to be loved, to love others, be happy, and give others happiness too. We really, 99.9% of people do want to do that in their own way. And if we just get back to that at the core of it, I think that would make life as authors more productive. It would make us have more purposeful businesses. It would make us have brands that sell sell books more, but sell all products more, because it's giving real meaning behind what we're doing. And it's also making our own personal relationships in our life, I think, a lot more meaningful, and also less conflict in it, because at the end of the day, we really are just in this together. And that's why I like to say, together we are boundless.
That's fantastic, man. What are you planning to go to college for, by the way?
I want to major in marketing and physics with computational neuroscience, because I love brain computer interfaces.
I tell you, dude, if I were writing a character like you, people would accuse me of just writing off the top of my head. you are unreal. So, because that's exactly what I thought you were going to say, by the way. You definitely have that mindset. So let's talk about marketing, because you are by the way, I happen to think that right now you've engaged in a career that is probably the best marketing training you're ever going to get. I worked in marketing for years before I became an author, and I think I learned 99% of what I know about marketing after becoming an author.
Oh, wow.
So I think that you are in the right career path. So what do you do to market your work?
For me, I do use AMS ads and Facebook ads, which I've definitely found success in, especially I think Amazon ads for me have worked the best. I'm Kindle Unlimited, so that helps. It helps get more page reads, because people in Kindle Unlimited will be looking at it. And I think for me, though, I've done a lot of newsletter ads as well. Those are like paid advertisements. And that's all advice that we've probably heard before. And certainly there's other people that could give way more robust advice than AMS ads. But for me, something that I focus on that's maybe a little bit more unique that I'd like to talk about is I have been trying to build more of a brand focus, not on my books, but on as me as a person. And when I go to, I'm in the beginning stages of this, and I'll be building this throughout the next years, my entire life. But I'm trying to build a personal brand and develop that brand that sells me first before my books, because it's easy when someone falls in love with the author to get them to read all of their books. But even beyond that, to get them to read all their mediums of storytelling, because I believe as 21st century storytellers, film and TV are going to become much more important. I think there's going to be really interesting things coming with AI and audiobooks, and especially actually with your company, Draft Digital, Findaway Voices is doing some really cool things with Chirp and BookBub, like really cool things. That's changing the game, where there's going to be so many books out there that it's going to be hard to just differentiate yourself with what book is better than another book, because at the end of the day, most books fall into similar tropes and similar genres, and there's unbelievable storytelling, but no one's going to know that until they try reading it. But it's easier to sell yourself and get someone interested in yourself in a short period of time than it is to get them interested in a book. You can captivate someone into your personality and your life in a minute, whereas it takes at least 10 pages if you're a really good author to get them captivated into a book, and 10 pages is 10 minutes, and that attention span is a lot. It's a lot more difficult to do. And even then, there's plenty of series I've read where I've loved that series by the author, but have not gone on to read all the other books by the author. Stephen King would be the one author who I would like to read all his books one day. I think he's fantastic. But I think if you get them to sell them on the person first and the message, that you'll really be able to do cool things with that. And for me, it's trying to make social media, and I especially use Instagram, and we'll be getting into YouTube, using it more to share more things about me and being open and just kind of more conversational in it, and not really selling my books on there, more selling me and get them interested in me. And that's what I use it for. I don't use it for trying to, not like a salesy push, which I see a lot of authors doing. And I think, that's ineffective marketing that we should get away from. And, AMS and Facebook ads should be what we use for selling our books. And selling ourselves should be what we use social media for. That's just my recommendation.
Man, I agree with every single syllable of what just came out of your mouth, man. That's exactly the philosophy that I push on people, that I try to push on myself. I fall short pretty often, but that idea of building yourself as a brand, that's really what the big names that we know when we think of an author's name, that's what they've done. Stephen King,
exactly. You mentioned,
he is a brand unto himself. The guy has written all sorts of different genres besides horror and suspense.
Yeah.
People love to read his stuff. He wrote an entire fantasy series.
Yeah. He writes whatever he feels like, which is the greatest privilege as a writer, to be able to have that creative freedom. And mm-hmm. I think as long as it being an author, like a storyteller, as long as the story in a way reflects you and your brand, it's hard to, I think it would be impossible to not write a story that somehow doesn't reflect you in some way. As long as you get people interested in you, they should be interested in your stories. And
yeah.
I think we like to, especially in the social media world, we like to, since we're seeing so much of other people and the best of them, and it's often fake, but they'll put out, people will falsely say things about them and will make, like, I see so many pictures of like, oh, the beautiful day at the beach, or like, we have like, this is all the money we have and this is our big house. And you'll feel like you can never be as interesting as them. You'll never be enough. That's definitely not true, because we are all, like, each and every one of us as people are supremely interesting, as long as we can, one, recognize who we are as people and be comfortable with that first. We have to be comfortable and confident with our own selves, be able to then put that out there fearlessly, boundlessly, really. We have to realize that we want everyone to be able to see us for who we really are and for who we truly are in a world on social media, especially, and on the internet, where we increasingly all are living more and more time that is full of things that are not true and are really, I think, destructive at times, especially when you see people trying to pretend to be things online that they aren't. And you see that from really funny stories that happen on dating apps. Not funny to the people who are victims of it, but I find it kind of funny when, like, see the picture of the guy who's like, he looks like he's like 20 and like, you know, some soccer player, and he's really just, you know, some 6-year-old dude shows up. Like that type of stuff, it's never that extreme. But it is that extreme in some cases, but we see a lot more people trying to be something they aren't to try and impress their audience. But in the end, they're just falling into marketing tropes in itself and personality tropes. Like, and I think when we market ourselves and try and build our own personal brand, we have to really hold ourselves to our own unique ideals and try and promote them and be really don't try and be unique, but try to be yourself. And I think that's the hardest thing to do. And I think being in high school now has taught me how to do that better than I think I could ever imagine. But I think that's that kind of that old high school lesson of like, it's hard to know how to be yourself, and coming out of your shell is something that, like, I think we all need to learn, because I think part of us never grows out of that.
Right. Yeah, man. No, I still deal with that. I feel like I'm probably pretty good at being me, but I still hide in the shell every now and then. So it's a good reminder. So now you are, man. I'm going to assume. No, I'm not going to assume. I'm going to ask you, because you're here in front of me. You had said that you were working for a while at like a country club, or did I get that right? Or did I?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're no longer doing that, I assume, right?
I actually I do serve there every once in a while. I do weddings there, but
okay.
It's a sporadic thing.
Are you don't have to give me any numbers at all, but are you making enough from book sales right now that it's more than what you were making at the country club?
It's about, if I was working full time over the summer, my first job there, mm-hmm. I've gotten a better job now, but my first job there, it's about equivalent to what I was making. And I've published I published the first 3 books in the series 4 or 5 months ago now. So,
okay.
It's growing at the rate I thought it would, at what I expected it would, because I expected that to happen.
This is the reason I'm coming around on this. And I have a good friend of mine, Ernest Dempsey, who's another thriller author just like me. He and his nephew co-authored some stuff together. That's his nephew's after-school job. You know, that's the job that's putting money in the account that's going to pay for college so that he doesn't have to do a student loan or even worry about grants even. He's just going to pay for classes outright. I think that's good for you, man. You've done something remarkable. I tell people about this all the time. Now I've got somebody I can point to that's actually done it. This is something I say publicly that it's better for you to, rather than go take a job at McDonald's. I hate harping on McDonald's people. The whole point is you're out there doing something, right?
Right. But yeah.
Rather than work for someone else, make the multi-billion dollar company more money. And, you know, and you are going nowhere in that company, really.
No.
You own your career and you own, you can walk away from it at any time and take any other job you ever want. So it's not hurting you at all. And in fact, enriching you and making you more valuable as an employee if you decide to work for someone else. So kudos to you, man. I think
that's always how I viewed it too. And I mean, I think the toughest thing about it is like to get it started, you work so long for free because to get X number of books out there, and really even that first book, it's hundreds of hours for free, where I think it's a lot of people, it's easier just to think about, well, if I picked up a couple extra shifts a week at my job, or, you know, got a second job part-time, I'd be making a lot more money during that period. And that's true, during that initial period you would, but I think with me even, like the money that I make today, the money that I make tomorrow, it's only going to keep getting more if you do it right. Which is what I'm planning on doing.
And this business compounds and it does it pretty quickly. Like you're creating a body of work, and my apologies to Strunk and White, but you're creating a body of work that is, it's not, the income doesn't die after each book is released. Like it's not the hours you're putting in that are earning you the dollars. It's the hours you've already put in.
So exactly.
I think that's fantastic, man.
Yeah. And I think for a lot of authors too, like to think, what I think about too, is thinking beyond just even books, but thinking of like one big project that I'm going to be doing during my gap year is learning how to design clothes. And that's something that if you're having your own personal brand, you can sell more than just books.
Right.
Have it relate. It could even, again, we all have stories that we write with characters and worlds in it that you can be selling products related to that world, but you can also be selling products related to your own personal brand too, as a separate thing, but something that your fans would be interested in buying to expand your business beyond just even, you know, the book mediums like ebooks, audiobooks and print books, but even going further into that, how can you still get your fans to like your message and like you and buy something else from you? Like, how can you grow your business to get multiple income streams? And that's something I've been thinking a lot about too, is being more than just an author, but trying to build the business so that it can have multiple streams of income that hopefully all are stable and can compound on each other.
Yeah. Fantastic. I was working at Subway after high school. so I think you're doing pretty all right, man. All right. Well, look, we're coming up on time, and I want to make sure we mention where to find you, where to find your work online. Your series is what's the name of the series?
The Control Freak series. It's Control Freak series with a Z. I did the Z because, to be honest, it felt funky and it sticks out to the eye. So
yeah, it's got that YA feel to it.
It does. It does.
Are you looking to do, I'm not encouraging you in this, but I'm curious, is your plan as an author, do you think you're going to always write the YA post-apocalyptic stuff, or do you have designs to write? Cause you're building yourself as the brand. I would assume you've got plans beyond just the YA stuff.
Yes. Right now I'm working on a series that's more, it's more of a new adult to adult. I'm using new adult cause it's really, it's the 20-year-old character. So I guess it would fit the new adult genre, called The Conspiracy Chronicles, and it's a techno thriller series. So it's kind of out of the post-apocalyptic YA stuff. It's, the first book will be called Dead Wave. And those, hopefully I release, trying to release 5 books in that series next year, rapid release it. And then I have a contemporary series that I'm have outlined and will be writing after I at least finish a couple books in Conspiracy Chronicles series. And that's not even YA. It's more of something meant for TV that I'm that I think I'll be writing as a book, but would love to explore film options too. And I think that's something a lot of authors are thinking about, that I'll definitely be trying to explore with that. So for me, I'm kind of just writing the stories that speak to me, and still keeping in mind the market and knowing that there's a niche and that there is a market for each book I write, but knowing that I can still reach them and not be chained by one genre.
Right. I love it. I think that's exactly the right plan. I'm a little envious of the head start that you have, man, but I think you're absolutely on the right track with everything you're doing. So keep that up, man.
Well, to anyone listening too, I mean, for me, it is a, I'm younger than maybe a lot of the listeners, but at the same time, we all are at the same moment in time on this internet. We're all in the same place in terms of the opportunities out there. The opportunities for everyone, and
that's right, man.
Opportunities to sell books to any reader in the world, never mind even English speaking. But in the coming years, I believe that, I mean, there's whispers that Michael Anderle was working with a company on this, that there's going to be AI software that's going to be able to automatically translate books coming out for authors in the near future. And there's lots of things that are going to change the game, and all those opportunities are for everyone. So I say we're all ahead of the game just by listening to a podcast like this. I mean, your podcast, the Wordslinger podcast, I can't even explain the amount of information that you have in there. And with everyone listening to all these guests and being able to get different perspectives on what's going on in the industry and how to build your business, I mean, that's what you got to do every day, because that's how you get ahead. And yeah, we're all doing that.
Yeah. And this is a great community for that. I mean, you know, it's a I'm blown away. So here's what we're going to do. Tell everybody where they can find you online and follow you as a brand. Where can people find you?
M. Evans Inked. So M. Evans Inked is my platform across everything. It's M-E-V-A-N-S-I-N-K-E-D, like, you know, writer inked. My website's mevinsinc.com, and that's my social media handles for both Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. But I'm really more active on Instagram because that's where my target audience is. And I think for me, I found it overwhelming to do three social medias. I think for authors, I'd encourage to focus in on one and just try and hit it and build an audience on there. Yeah, for me, the Bookstagram community with all the book bloggers and stuff, they've been great to reach out to. And yeah, that's where you can find me, and you can find my books there as well.
I'm terrible with Instagram, but I'm going to follow you anyway, and maybe you can give me pointers. I don't know why.
Instagram is great. Instagram's, I think, where at least anyone under 20, like kids don't even use Facebook anymore. I mean, obviously, Instagram's owned by Facebook, so no one's – the company will be all right. But Instagram itself, that platform certainly has a lot of growth.
Maybe it's just I'm old. Maybe that's what it is. I'm on Facebook. Facebook seems to be where everybody I want to deal with hangs out. But I should give Instagram a fair shake.
There's not a lot of authors on it, but there's a whole Bookstagram community of people taking pictures of books.
Bookstagram.
That's pretty cool. It's really artsy. Instagram, I find, is the easiest way to get book reviews for me. I get, I've contacted most of the people who've reviewed my books have been through Instagram. I use their emails right in their bio for people, and you just search up specific hashtags, similar to other social media platforms. But I just find Instagram to be really convenient for that, and I recommend anyone to do that. A lot of these people don't get too much requests either, so it's easier to really for your genre specific hashtags to find people willing and to read and promote your books. And I mean, if anyone has a street team, I have a street team, the Boundless Bunch, to recruit people for that, and even beta readers too.
Street team. I have a street team that I didn't put together until last year, man. So you are once again ahead of the curve. Okay. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up, man. I am inspired by what you're doing. I think you are, and not just because of your age either, but because you have thought this out in a way that I try to help other authors think about.
Yeah.
And this This is exactly the way you can build an amazing career. Are you, by the way, pre-writing the books and releasing them? Or are you releasing them as you write them?
I pre-write and release. I like to have 3 books set before I go out, which is what I did last time. Yeah. I'll be doing that this time as well.
Yeah, that's exactly what I tell people. All right, man. Yep. All right. Well, look, you're like the living embodiment of everything I hope to inspire in authors. So congratulations.
I hope I can inspire people. That's why I'm here. That's what I do. I hope to inspire people.
Well, they'll get a big head about it.
No. To live, everyone should be able to inspire others to, yeah. I want to inspire others to live boundlessly, but to inspire others just to live better lives. I mean,
yeah.
Interactions with people.
And that's, yeah. And you've got it pulled together. You've got a whole mission statement. You got everything. I really appreciate all that. So we'll go ahead and wrap up. You and I, we're going to stay in touch. If you will allow me, I want to.
Oh, for sure. No, you're great, man. We'll certainly be in touch. And for anyone out there in the podcast, feel free to contact me. My email is everywhere on my platforms. I'm happy to field any questions and just stay in touch because I love making new author friends too.
Nice. All right. You stick around. Everybody else, right now you're hearing the groovy bridge music. You may dance and place at will. And if you stick around after whatever I play next, I'm bound to talk about something. So hopefully that's good for you, good for me, good for everybody. So see you on the other side.
Hear your book the way it was meant to be heard. With a fully custom soundtrack based on your material. An album of music that perfectly fits your characters, your settings. Hear your book today. SonataInscribe.com.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Michael Evans. I hope you got something fantastic out of that. I know I did. I always do. I'm pretty predictable when it comes to that sort of thing. So thank you for sticking around for this episode of the Wordslinger Podcast. As promised, we're going to end things a little early. I'm not going to drag out this outro, but I do want to thank you for everything you've done as a listener and or viewer. Make sure, if you are listening to this podcast, please go to YouTube, find it and subscribe to me on YouTube on Wordslinger Podcast. Sorry about that, clearing my throat in your ear. I'm trying to get those YouTube subscriptions up. And do me a favor and share this on social media. Get out there and tell people, you know, you can tag me. It's at Wordslinger Pod on Twitter and Wordslinger Podcast on Facebook. I got an Instagram presence as Kevin Tumlinson. You can tag Kevin Tumlinson as well. That's fine too. And go check out wordslingerpodcast.com for show notes and more. We're gonna amp this up. So thank you for sticking around. I hope you enjoyed this short, slightly different format of the Wordslinger Podcast. Go subscribe to this show on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and everywhere fine podcasts are sold. God bless you, and I'll see you all next time.
Wordslinger.